2:81. We'll stand on the last verse. Be led in prayer by Brother Lee Hicks of the San Luis Obispo, California Ecclesia.
Most kind and loving Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we come to you again this evening to continue our prayers and thanks for all the wonderful things that you have done for us this convention, that you have given us food. The food that would cause us to continue on the narrow way. We appreciate the brethren that is serve us this convention. We ask your blessing on those that is not able to be with us at this convention, and on those that are going through trials, that you would be with them, that they may be strengthened. We ask also, Heavenly Father, that thy kingdom will come, that it will be established on earth, and that you will keep us in the narrow way, that we learn to love one another. We appreciate all the wonderful friendship and fellowship that we have had with like faith brethren at this convention. We ask that you be with our brother Sid Jones as he continues to deliver us your word of truth, that maybe his words would be unctuous to us, that we will take them to our heart. We ask all these in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, we're delighted to have Brother Sid Jones speak to us once again, and his subject is the House of Sons. Brother Sid.
Thanks, Brother Ed. Thank you also, Brother Hicks, for your nice prayer. Dear brother and sister, John and I are enjoying ourselves very much at this convention. It's the second day already. I can hardly believe that 2 days of convention are drawing to a close, but we're rejoicing with you all here. It's a real blessing to leave the world for a little while and to share these moments together here at this lovely convention. Now, I brought the love and greetings from the dawn yesterday, but I look around the room and I see that there are some who may not have been here yesterday. So I will just repeat that I bring the love and greetings from your brethren at the dawn. This is just a little group of brethren who are struggling to carry on with the work the best they can. And we appreciate each other, and we love the Lord, and we want to do that which would be pleasing to Him. And also, I wanted to thank the Los Angeles class for having us here at this time. And we want to thank Brother and Sister Brown, Burton and Nancy, for their kind hospitality and meeting us at the airport and putting us up and so on and looking after us. And we thank you, brethren, here for looking after us while we're here. And also, I'm sorry that I'm taking Brother George Tabak's place. The change in the program is why I happen to be speaking again today, but I was looking forward to seeing both Brother George and Sister Tabak, and I don't know exactly what their reason is not coming. I guess she's sick, but anyway, I'm sorry that they are not here and that we can't hear him speak this evening. I was thinking I talk on Hebrews, the third chapter. This is the house of sons, and the house of servants, the house of sons. And as this chapter opens, it talks about Moses and how he was the one who delivered the law to the Israelites. And considering all of this, we know that Israel is a typical people. Everything that they did, practically, was a type. Their religious service, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the furnishings in the tabernacle, the garments the priests wore, and on and on and on. And we had a very interesting opportunity to sit in on Brother David Rice's talk or study yesterday about the tabernacle. And just to give you a little idea of some of the things we talked about in connection with this tabernacle, or how many boards there are in the compartments, the holy and the most holy, and their dimensions, and all these little things. So it shows just how far you can get into this, and that's still only just touching barely the subject. But there are so many things with Israel that are very important to us because they teach us a spiritual lesson. And that's really what we want, is the spiritual lesson from all this. And I think probably a lot of us have sat in his lesson, either yesterday or today, and again tomorrow. You'll have opportunity. But these, and I think Brother Paul Nally also is speaking or having a study on the priesthood. So all these things are typical. And we're interested in these typical things because they teach us things that show us the way that the church is being drawn out of the world and so on. Now, the house of servants and the house of sons is in Hebrews. It's in the third chapter. We'll just read these first half a dozen verses or so together, and then we'll discuss it a bit and also have some other scriptures to support it. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Notice how Paul just throws that right at us here. This is a heavenly calling he's talking about. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So he's drawing attention to Moses and the old types in connection with that, and the house of servants. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, and for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. And then verse 6 is the one we want to emphasize here. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? So here's the connection. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, here in this passage we see Moses in connection with the house of servants. We know that he's the one that delivered the law to his people. He was the one that was the mediator of that law. But as the plan of God proceeded and progressed at the first advent, some of these passed on into the house of sons themselves, even from Israel. And then we come to this house of Christ. And this is the house that interests us because we have been called out of the world to be partakers of this calling and to share in this house of Christ as sons. And there will be another new law, another new covenant to be given to the people. And of course the church itself will be the mediatorship of that better covenant than Moses had. And in the kingdom, the church will play a large part in this. It is a wonderful calling for a marvelous purpose in the plan of God to bring the world back to reconciliation with God. And those who have been called out of this dark world and who have responded to this calling will have that great privilege. This is a household of faith right here. You, brethren, are that household of faith. And we trust that we could be faithful and have that grand prospect that is before us to be part of this house of our Lord Jesus and of sons spoken of here in this passage, that we will be sons. Now, in Romans, the 8th chapter, we'd like to read a few passages here in connection with this matter. We'll begin with the 14th verse. This is Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Of course, this is the Holy Spirit. And as we respond to this calling, it's the Holy Spirit that directs our lives and gives us a deeper appreciation and understanding of God's purpose in connection with all of this. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But Paul goes on to say here in verse 15, but now ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into this family of God that he speaks about here. And then verse 16, for the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it's this close relationship as part of this family arrangement of God and as children and as sons of God that inspire us to greater faithfulness and a desire to serve our Lord and to be faithful. And then if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The house of sons is spoken of as the household of faith by Paul to the Galatians in Galatians 6:10. And this house of sons is also spoken of as the household of God in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. This is the household of faith that we see about us as we go to conventions and as we share these spiritual blessings together. This is the household of God called out of the world for the purpose of making our calling and election sure and sharing in the great work of reconciliation in the future. Now in Galatians, the apostle goes on further to explain some of these things. Those who like to follow along will be considering Galatians chapter 4, and we will begin at the beginning of the chapter. Galatians chapter 4, and we will consider the first few verses in this chapter. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now there we have that expression again, that we have been adopted as sons into this household of God. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Brethren, this inspires us to greater faithfulness as we realize the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. It's a new relationship to be adopted as sons into this family of arrangement that God has directing our attention to in these passages of Scripture. A father and a son is a very, very close relationship. And this is something that we develop as we go along the way. And we come to appreciate this relationship that we have together with our Heavenly Father. That's why we can go to our Heavenly Father, seek His guidance and His direction and His forgiveness, and ask that He will help us to grow in grace and in knowledge, and that we might be faithful to our calling. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Well, this is a passage that tells us that when we, if we're faithful and we'll share the spiritual of a calling and to receive the blessings of that calling, that we will see and know our Lord even as He is. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, that we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him even as He is. This is the grand prospect for those who have responded to this calling. You, dear brethren, gathered together here in Los Angeles, even at this time, are part of that household of faith, gathered together. And those of us who can be faithful and to carry on will one day see our Lord even as He is. That's the great prospect as part of this calling to be sons of God. Well, go back to Hebrews again. Back to Hebrews, the second chapter this time. Hebrews chapter 2, and we will read beginning with verse 10. It became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Again, dear friends, consider the great prospect that we have of our Heavenly Father and the great plan that he has in calling many sons to glory, to be a part of this great plan of his. And of course, we know there are 144,000 who will one day share as part of that bride of Christ, to be part of the household of God, the house of sons, and to enjoy those blessings that have been given to us. And now over in Hebrews again, this time in chapter 12, we'll consider verses 6 through 8. Chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And as we consider the Christian growth in each of us and the various trials that we each undergo to develop the Christ-like features that we have been told in the Scriptures that we must put on, we know that we are chastened by God himself, who will direct our paths to glory. And it's this chastening process that develops us in the way of the Lord, that develops the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the Apostle Peter, in chapter 2, 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 4 and 5, we'd like to continue this discussion. We're turning up a few scriptures here that will support this thought of the house of sons and the various passages that direct our attention to this and the growth in grace and in knowledge that we see as we make this progress in the narrow way. Now, the Apostle Peter is writing this epistle approximately 30-35 years after Jesus was crucified. And of course, Peter witnessed Jesus' miracles, his ministry. He walked with our Lord. He had the very unique experience of seeing firsthand many of the great miracles and the ministry that our Lord conducted. And Peter was a very impulsive kind of a person. Our Lord is always having to correct him and put him down. Here we are about 30 or 35 years later, and Peter is able to look back on his experience. He speaks about it in his epistles. And with that 35 years experience, we can see a growth and a development in Peter, and we can see in his writing the connection that we want to make here. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 4 and 5, "To whom coming as unto a living stone," this is our Lord, of course, "disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And then he goes on to say that ye also are living stones, and ye are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, this is the house that he's talking about here, and each of us is one of these living stones that Peter is talking about. And again, the Apostle Paul, in his message to the Corinthian brethren, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 1. Another passage of Scripture dealing with this subject of the house of sons and its beautiful application and our calling out of the world to be a part of this arrangement. Paul goes on then to tell these brethren at Corinth, beginning with chapter 5, we know that if our earthly house, he says, of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a building of God, a house that is not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. Then he proceeds to say that, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is in heaven. Because this is a spiritual house, it's a spiritual calling, and it's a spiritual matter that Paul is describing here. And then verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What a great prospect this is, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. And this is in connection with the seeking for glory, honor, and immortality. And those who are faithful to this calling will receive this grandest prize of all, glory, honor, and immortality. And then this life that we have now will be swallowed up of life itself, of the immortal life that the apostle is telling us here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we would like to read verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now Paul is quoting this from Isaiah. He's quoting it from chapter 64 and verse 4 in Isaiah. And if you check Isaiah, you'll notice that it is almost word for word. Here Paul says that these are the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Isaiah says that these are the things that God hath prepared for those who wait for him. But here Paul, in quoting this passage, gives us this illustration of the great prospect that is before us. And when we consider our Lord Jesus and the fact that he has opened the way for us, we want to consider some of those scriptures that give us this great hope and the preparation that he has made for us. He has opened the way for us. In 1 John 3 and 16, he laid his life down for us. In Hebrews 9, 24, he presented the merit of his sacrifice for us. Romans 8 and 34, our Lord makes intercession for us. This is the household of faith that he has laid his life down for and given his merit for during the gospel age. And he is making intercession for this household of faith during this time. Dear brethren, I'd like to read a little passage from one of the reprint articles in connection with the great hope and the great prospect of this calling and being a part of this household of sons that we have been talking about. And our dear pastor, in writing this on page 5855, wrote this in February of 1916. And those who might like to look this up for themselves can find it at their own leisure. And this is what our Pastor Russell has given us a little glimpse into the great calling that we have experienced. He says that we are selected from a race of bond slaves of sin, beings of a fleshly nature. We're depraved, death-stricken, sin-cursed, and we are lifted out of the miry clay. We are washed and cleansed from our pollution and our soiled rags of unrighteousness, and a new nature has been begun in us. And then he continues that our earthward tendencies are gradually bent heavenward, and we are transformed day by day, rising up and up, until our resurrection work is complete and the work of transformation fully accomplished, and we are exalted to heights unimaginable, passing the nature and the rank of angels and of cherubim and of seraphim and every name that is named, and seated upon Messiah's throne beside the infinite Son of God, and partakers of his glorious nature, the nature of Jehovah himself, the divine nature. Can mortal man conceive a so glorious, a marvelous glory? The very thought of such a calling should cause us to bow our hearts in the dust before our God, realizing our great unworthiness of such stupendous grace and of bliss that is so transcendent. What can we render unto the Lord that can fittingly demonstrate our gratitude and our thankfulness for so unspeakable a favor? Surely the most feeble service that we can give is but a very feeble return to him who has so loved us, so blessed us, and so honored us. We are joint heirs with our Lord of glory to this wonderful inheritance, if only we are faithful unto death and to keep our garments white. Dear brethren, I think that is a beautiful expression from the pen of our dear pastor to show us the great prospect that has been set before us. You know, in Matthew chapter 19, we'd like to continue here in verses 28 and 29. We'll just consider that for a moment here. Matthew 19, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said unto them, that is his disciples, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And then again, the Apostle Paul in the Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 6. We'd like to consider that for a moment. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is a great prospect that we have here, dear brethren, that our Lord has given us this opportunity to be partakers of this house of sons during this gospel age. And as we see the age coming to a close, it is our desire that we might encourage one another, to help one another, to build one another up in the most holy faith, that we could be a part of this grand arrangement. And then I'd like to close then by having a look at a passage from Isaiah in prophecy. And we will close with Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 in connection with this house of sons that we have been speaking about in these few passages here this evening. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Dear brethren, I thank you for the opportunity to share these few thoughts with you here this evening. Again, I am sorry that Brother Tabak was not here to deliver this discussion this evening, or his discourse, but I thank you for the privilege, and I pray for you all that we may be faithful and to share in the house of sons and be faithful together in the kingdom. May God bless.
We appreciate Brother Sid's thoughts on the house of sons, and may we be faithful in our walk of consecration. Now let's close this service by singing hymn number 176. We'll sing the first and last of 176. We'll stand on the last verse, and we'll ask Brother Sid to close this service and ask a blessing upon our Vesper service, which is going to follow immediately. So hymn number 176, two verses.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the sentiments of this lovely hymn. We thank Thee for each other as we are here gathered in Thy presence. And we thank Thee especially for the gift of Thy dear Son who has made it all possible. And as we are about to now have the evening session with the singing and the Vespers, we pray that Thy blessing will be with these dear brethren who have prepared this for our blessing. And we leave this now in Thy care and keeping as we part, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.